morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how he's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Good morning.
Deb. All right, wake up. Here we go. All right, rise and shine. This too is the day the Lord has made. All right, we've been studying a lot about holiness as of late, and how we're called to be holy as God is holy. Any initial maybe review that you might have? What comes to mind? What jumps out at in your mind as far as some things that we've been studying on holiness? I know we've been in the Old Testament quite a bit, but just to kind of share some brief structural points for our listening audience.
We were called to be holy as God is holy, so that we try to mirror what he wants, because he's our Father. We try to do as our Father does, make us complete as one with him. That's where we get our holiness, is working, listening to our Father and doing exactly what he would do, or trying our best to. Heaven knows we fall short on a lot of things. But as I'm working at it, I'm studying my dad, seeing how he does everything in life, and I want to do it just like him. It'd be like my own father, you know. He wasn't around, but if he would have been, I probably would have learned from him. Now I have the chance to learn the godly way, as Jesus walked, my brother, some children of. And I'm liking it because I'm growing that way. Forgiveness is in there for me. Learning how to forgive myself, which was the hardest thing, but I've got that. You know, every now and then something pops up, but I can forgive myself, talk to somebody about it, let God have it, and go on.
Well, it's interesting you said that, Jeff. That's a nice little segue to today's pericope reading. Okay, I mean, you talk about trying to do like Daddy does, and practice a little forgiveness and stuff like that. So the scripture text for today's study, for our Word Made Flesh edition, comes from Paul's writing in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 25 through 5-2. Anybody in our listening audience wants to follow along, they can. But Austin, you want to go ahead and read that for us?
Yeah, no problem, Pastor. 4:25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. 5:1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up to us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Feedback on that little reading. What jumps out at you?
Verse 29 jumps out at me. 29 through 30. You know, not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. And as we were talking earlier, I said, you know, that this, I believe, has a direct correlation to how I speak to myself. You know, if I'm in a habit of speaking negatively, same thing to myself, that internal voice of mine. And he talks about, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. And I've dealt with that. Oftentimes, I'll carry things right through the day, and I generally try to do an inventory before I go to bed. But some days I'm content just to be angry, and that, as we've seen, never ends good. It builds up until I just can't take it. Time to start over.
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
For me, verse 31 and 32 jump out at me. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, and rage. Be forgiving and compassionate. I'm ready to start new, start fresh. God's forgiven me for what I've done in my life, for the anger and rage and resentment I've held on to from my past. I'm ready to forgive my mom, who I was feeling resentment towards, my father for leaving. The anger and resentment I had towards them is now lessened. I feel I'm ready to move on with them, ready to start new, and forgive them as Christ is forgiving me for what I've done and for what they've done. He forgave them, so who am I not to forgive them? Since God has forgiven me, I have to love them as He is loving me and loves them too. And those two verses just really jumped out at me. And I'm just ready to move on, learn how to forgive, learn how to live that life of love and show compassion towards them and others. And that's all I got.
Good. Good.
I cannot afford the bitterness, the anger. God gives me love. If I get back into that bitterness and holding on to stuff, grudges against other people, I'm going to be right back where I was. I'll be out there drinking. Or doing other things that I'm trying to break the habit of right now. But His love is sufficient for me today. I feel loved. I can give love. I'm not near where I want to be yet, but I'm getting closer. Every day is a journey, and I do a daily inventory like Dan was talking about at night, go through everything in my head, what I can improve on. And if I hurt somebody, I got to go make amends to them. Get that off my chest right away, because if I hang on to it, it's going to fester and steam, and I'm going to be miserable. And my God don't want me miserable. I'm going to walk through some crap during the day, but it's what I make out of it in any given situation. That's my growth. So I just can't afford to be there, so I try not to go there on that stuff. I just need to get it out, get rid of it. Let God have it, and He takes care of that part for me. That's about all I got.
I look at it as, I love God first in my life and always want to please Him and offer things to Him. And here He offers an opportunity how to make an offering, a sacrifice to God and loving our neighbor by being honest, by not stealing, by sharing what we get from working, by being tender-hearted and not angry, and yet doing these kind things to our neighbors. And yet that's an offering to God, a love to God, So to me, it leads back to how am I loving God? Well, I place Him above all things. And God is saying, love your neighbor. And so here's the same different ways you can love your neighbor, as Christ loved us.
Good. Good. Anybody else?
For me, community really just jumps out to me. All these, like Matt was saying, these ways to love our neighbors. I mean, when we're bitter, have rage, anger, brawling, those things we've lived in for so long, they seek to destroy community. It doesn't build it up. Whereas, being kind, compassionate, loving, and forgiving, those things, this love, this agape, this willing the good of others, it really seeks to restore community. And we've been talking about, be holy. I think these are ways where we look holy, we We are holy. We are distinct. We're different. We're set apart. And I think that's what God is. That's what the scripture is speaking to me.
Good, good, real good stuff. Any other thoughts, comments? Well, if we think about our journey toward holiness, Paul begins by saying, you know, put off, right? This idea of putting off. Over in Colossians chapter 3, he's going to talk about putting to death the sinful nature, the old ways. Here, put off all falsehood. You know, start living a life of truth. So as part of this new life of holiness, of which, you know, he doesn't tell you can't be angry. You know, we're going to get hurt, right? We may be angry. But he does give us some guidelines of what we do with our anger. All right? And sometimes we may have to let people know that you've offended me. And he suggests you do that before the sun goes down. In other words, you know, don't take your time in doing this. We all know when somebody stepped on our toes. If we get angry, you know it, right? I mean, that's kind of an emotional response to an event. And usually, a couple things: either we get angry because we're saying, "Look at you! Don't you know who I am? You can't do that to me." Oh, I didn't know you're that special. Or it's genuine that that hurt. Now it takes some spiritual discernment, to identify which two. And then what do we do with that anger if it is justified? Well, if we're called to be holy, and I like what Paul says here, and it's probably the highest level of our spiritual formation that we're striving to accomplish, and that's to be imitators of God. You shall be holy as Yahweh is holy. We've been studying that. And so, I mean, you should be an imitator of God. You should be like God. And God seems to be one that we would like to think, I'm sure all of us sitting around here, is God is someone that we have offended. Elsewhere, Paul says, you know, when we were enemies of God, right? He forgave us through Christ Jesus. And so one of the reasons that we let go of the bitterness, I mean, bitterness and resentment is when we cling to our anger and we don't do a whole lot with it. We let the sun go down. And he's saying, look, you have this new life. God continuously showers us with grace, right? And love, this agape that you're talking about, Josh. God's not bitter or resentful with us. Right? And so it is imperative, if we're going to move forward in healthy relationships, that we recognize when we're angry and that we practice imitating God. I think, and maybe you'll agree, that sometimes it's a lot easier to forgive others. We can recognize intellectually God's forgiven us. So, you know, okay, Brent, I guess I'll forgive you. and there's a process to forgiving others. And we do that because we want healthy relationships if we're going to be in community. Would you agree that sometimes the hardest thing to do is forgive yourself?
Yes.
Why is that? Back there in the corner, when you're parking out. Yes, yes, yes. Why do you think that's so? Anybody?
I would think that we would hold ourselves to a higher standard than that of somebody else. Easier for us to forgive them than to forgive ourselves, because we can't come to terms with the fact of what we did as a person to be something that's okay.
Okay, all right. And we're all guilty of having offended, hurt, made mistakes, had failures, etc., etc.
I think that that self-loathing is so easy to hide. and to practice without others knowing of it makes it easier to continue to do for me.
So would you agree with Paul then that makes it very difficult to live a life of truth? Because
yes.
In a sense, we're being deceitful.
Yes.
So if we're going to be deceitful on our own self-loathing and self-contempt, right, are we really living a holy life?
No.
Yeah. What if we imagined God saying, you know, I made a big mistake with all these human beings I created? I made a mistake. I failed. I don't know how I can forgive myself. Do we think of God in those terms?
No.
So when you, Brent, when you're speaking about that, somehow or another, we think about ourselves in terms greater than what we think of God. And ultimately, we have to get things in proportion. I think there are several reasons we may cling to our anger, we may cling to our inability or our unwillingness to forgive ourselves, simply because we do like the bitterness and the resentment. Sometimes they become the markers, the real life substance that I can hang on to and experience because of the offense. I'm not letting go in short terms. I don't want to let go. You hurt me. I want revenge. I want vengeance. And until I get it, we're being resentful and bitter. Right? And what Paul's saying, you know, we have to put that falsehood off. We have to put that away. There's not going to be any restoration in a relationship. I mean, I can't really say I forgive you and then never forgive myself. I'm not going to be healthy. I can't love one another as right? God's loved you as you love yourself. Forgive us our sins this day. Forgive us our debts. This whole thing's on this forgiveness. And I think sometimes we will cling to our mistakes, we'll cling to our failures, as if somehow or another they are our identity, and they're not. I'm pretty sure somewhere along today, we're going to fail. We're going to make a mistake. And we cannot, as you were talking about, the self-talk, start identifying ourselves with our mistake. Well, I blundered, I'm sorry I hurt you, I made a mistake, whatever it is, we acknowledge it because we're being truthful, not false. We're being honest, like God, imitators of God. And we're not distorting it as if that's our identity. It's that kind of self-talk, it's that kind of release of the memory. Now, the memory could be of somebody, as you were saying, of who's injured me, but it can also be my memory. I cling to a memory because of things I've done. Gentlemen, we look around this room, and we all have those memories of things that we've done. And even in those memories, a lot of our loved ones whom we have hurt have forgiven us. So why aren't we letting go? Sometimes it's because it's the only thing we have. We're afraid to let go of the memory. And if I let go of the emotional attachment to the memory, I'm fearful I'll lose the memory. Sometimes it's because the memory is so powerful. All right? When I think of the incident, of the event, however long ago, yesterday, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, right, accompanying the memory, the visual part of it, is also the emotional part. And then we say, well, you know, 15 years ago when I did such and such, and I made that mistake, I still feel guilty, I still feel shameful, here we go. We are the self-talk, we are producing self-contempt, the self-loathing. And no wonder we can't progress. No wonder we can't really journey into this being imitators of God. This new life Paul is talking about, this life of truthfulness. The truth is, yes, 15 years ago, I screwed up. But today, I am not a screw-up. I may still make mistakes, but my identity is not one as screw-up or failure. We need that if we're going to be part of this community that you spoke of, Josh. Because I'm not going to, if I am overly consumed with my bitterness, resentment, and anger, my malice, and everything else that accompanies the emotional attachment of the memory, I will never be in a position to where I can genuinely love others and forgive others. I will never be in a position where I can competently imitate God. And in our study, we would say I would never be in a position to where I can be holy as my God is holy. All right, gentlemen, well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.